Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, February 29th, 2016. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
I'm good.
Awesome. I'm glad to have you here on this extra day of the year. And Dave Hamilton, I'm glad to have you here. How are you?
I am feeling very rare today.
Well, you should.
It's rare to do that. We get, in fact, I believe this is the first podcast, certainly the first TMO Daily Observations that we've done on February 29th.
It is. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever recorded a podcast on February 29th. There have been two of them since I started podcasting, but I don't recall. I don't know.
Well, this anyway. Is a special day.
It is.
And it's so special. You and Brian both get trophies.
Well, oh,
everybody gets
awesome.
A trophy.
Everybody gets a trophy. That's right.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that our topic for today, or do you want to talk about something else? Because if you want to talk about something else, you might want to change the topic now.
How about if I do that right now?
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, you follow the Apple shareholders very closely. And so on Friday, you offered up your take on what the shareholders are saying about the whole Apple fighting the FBI over whether or not the FBI has the right to compel Apple to give them tools to access or bypass the passcodes on our iPhones.
Well, firstly, I am a shareholder for the full disclosure sake. A tiny, tiny, tiny shareholder. Anyone else on the call, a shareholder? We should probably identify ourselves.
I am I'm a 6'3" shareholder.
I am not a shareholder.
Okay, there we go. Long story short is that the shareholders backed Apple's play. There not only was there not grousing about Apple doing this and people expressing concern about how it might affect the bottom line, shareholders basically they cheered Tim when he said that this is what we're doing. It the New York Times characterized it as a quote-unquote striking scene of support for Mr. Cook. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, who has become investor Jesse Jackson, who has been critical of Apple for not having a diverse enough board, said, and I like this quote. He said, "Where we stand in times of controversy is a measure of our character. Some leaders only follow opinion polls. Others stand up for their principles, refuse to compromise, and mold opinion. We have such a leader of Apple, Tim Cook."
Huh.
That was a nice, for plenty of people who don't actually care what Jesse Jackson thinks, but...
to be fair, plenty of people don't care what Tim Cook thinks, and plenty of people don't care what we think.
That's true. I don't know any of those people.
Well,
it's better that way, Brian.
And none of them are listening because, by definition, it's a self-selected group.
Yeah. There is someone who listens to this show because he hates me.
No That's kidding. Crazy.
But see, he cares what you think. That's different.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. But anyway.
That's true. That Brian guy. So, we also learned that Apple bought 19 companies during the last year. Tim Cook is still bullish on the Chinese market. Interestingly, I was delighted by this. A pay study within Apple found that women earn 99.6 cents for every dollar earned by men. You might know that the national average, at least in 2014, was 78.6 cents. Right. So Apple, has a slightly narrower gap. Underrepresented minorities earn 99.7 cents for every dollar earned by white employees. And Tim Cook pledged to eradicate the remaining discrepancy.
That's good. Yeah.
It is fantastic. For those who actually care about that topic, I happen to be one of them. That is such a massive accomplishment. And then, Tim's like, "Well, but we're going to fix the rest of it."
Yeah.
And I totally love that.
Well, that's good. No, it's astounding that it exists in the first place.
I think it's very understandable that it exists.
Yes. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, it's not surprising. It's just astounding.
Yeah. Well, which is... well said, Dave.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. So
excellent diction is what you're going to get out of me today.
That is excellent. That's good. Tim also told shareholders, he said, Apple is a staunch advocate for our customers' privacy and personal safety. We do these things because they are the right things to do. Being hard doesn't scare us. And let's just move along over the particulars of that wording and look at the spirit of it. This is a company where this is a meeting for people who are theoretically concerned only about how much money Apple makes.
Right. Yeah. The shareholder meeting.
And this is a meeting where, you know, activist shareholders of various sorts are always wanting to use. They're either wanting to advance their agenda in some incremental way through Apple, or they're in some cases wanting to advance their agenda by having it be an issue with Apple because, you know, people pay attention to what happens at Apple. And one way or another, we're talking about people who are certainly a lot of the people that come to the meetings are just Apple fans. But there are a lot of people that are there who were they're shareholders. And yet they're backing Apple's play, at least so far, on this fight with the FBI. And I find that very gratifying because there are a lot of companies, I think, where shareholders would push Apple to do what is expedient or what is most profitable.
So maybe these are people that are looking at the long-term benefit.
Yeah.
And not just for Apple, but for other tech companies that they may be invested in.
Yeah, I think it is more profitable for Apple to stay the course that they're on.
And that was, as soon as I said what I said, I was wondering if either one of you were going to come back at me with that, is that they see this as the more profitable path.
Yeah, I certainly do.
I mean,
for the same reasons that you said that the way you said it, I find it more profitable because I, as a customer, want that from them. And right. I assume that every other person in the world thinks exactly the same way I do and would also want that from them. But eyes a little wide, more widely open, I know there are lots of people that feel that way. And it's been part of Apple's narrative for a long time. And so they need to stick with that narrative.
Well, did you catch the story? You were out of the office last week, Dave.
Yeah.
Did you catch the story about Maricopa County in Arizona?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you see Clayton Morris interviewed the attorney, I guess it was, right, from Maricopa County on Fox and Friends the other day?
Yeah, the county attorney.
The county attorney. He did an awesome job of essentially letting this guy lambaste himself.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. 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 For those of you who don't know, that the county has said that they won't buy iPhones in the future for their police officers or any county employees, I guess. Right. But it was more about police officers.
No, I think it's just for, people that work in the county attorney's office.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Yeah. The people that have iPhones are welcome to continue using them. They just won't be buying them in the future because they don't want to support a company that doesn't, adhere to the FBI's requests. But yeah, we should put a link into Clayton's video. He did a killer job. So yes, Brian, that's a very, very long way of saying, yep, I saw it.
And the point being that people who note things like that, people who are scared of things like that, could be concerned. You know, and there are plenty of ordinary folks who, in my opinion, very reasonably, there's so much truthiness in the idea that Apple should be doing what the FBI wants.
Of course.
Oh, sure.
And, And anyone who doesn't understand the technical nuances, anyone who doesn't understand the theory behind what Apple is doing, anyone who doesn't really master the higher level of arguments, is going to gravitate towards why isn't Apple doing this? Well, they're a bad company.
Right. Now, we did a thing. We stay away from the news on Mac Geek Gab because we do it so many other places here. But
yeah, we've got that covered for you, Dave. No problem.
Yeah, not this week, but last week's show, we did a segment on this story for exactly that reason. It was, you know, as best as possible. Of course, John Braun can't keep politics out of anything, and I love him for that.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Right. But for the most part, we kept politics out of the discussion. It was just like, look, make up your mind however you want to make it up, but know these are the facts involved, because it's really important that these subtle nuances are, that you're informed on these. Otherwise, you're not going to make an informed decision. And it's vital to this particular discussion that this one very subtle thing is understood. They're asking them to create something that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and that's kind of a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about. If it already existed, I mean, the whole story would be different.
It would be very different.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We may not like the answer, but I think we'd probably all agree that, yeah, Apple's got to give it to them. If they have it, you got to give it to them. It doesn't exist. As far as we know, it doesn't exist.
Well, and Apple has been very clear about saying it does not exist.
That's right.
And Dave, considering Dave's the context,
Dave's distinction still has merit.
It does.
Oh, absolutely.
We had a same concept, different context. We had
I think we just lost Dave.
We did just lose Dave.
No, Jeff. Dave's here.
Oh, okay. All right. I just assumed that the NSA was listening in, and
I bumped my mute button accidentally.
Ah.
But what I was about to say was same concept, different context. We had a listener write in that their iPhone was all over the place, launching apps like crazy. Just like they literally could sit there and watch it launch apps. It tried to join a Wi-Fi network, and there were things being typed in, and you know, the discussion was, well, we know that there's no way to remote control an iPhone even when we want to, so it must be something with the digitizer on that phone, or you know, something flaky with that piece of hardware. And then I stopped and I said, but we're pretty sure that Apple has programmed a way to remote control an iPhone that they use internally. It's just never been exposed to us. And it's the same kind of thing. I'm sure Apple builds all sorts of things internally that are never intended to, and thus far never have been shown to the public.
But this is one that I don't think Apple would want to build it.
No, I agree with that.
As a CYA move.
I agree with that. Yeah, there's a very good reason for them to build a let's control an iPhone remotely across the network tool for them to use internally in development and, you know, that sort of thing. There's no good reason for them to build the tool to do what the FBI wants them to do. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. I agree.
Yep.
Yep. Hey, you know, as long as we still have a little bit of time, and Dave, as long as you're here.
I still am. I haven't pushed my mute button again accidentally, have I?
You have not. The NSA has not found you yet, so we're still good.
Good news.
You had a problem over the weekend that a lot of other people had to suffer through, and I thought we should kind of dive into that and explain to people what's going on and how they can fix that. And this is my Ethernet port on my Mac is dead problem.
Yeah. So there's a funny story here. Again, a Mac Geek Gab story, but a listener wrote in on Saturday morning, maybe Friday night. I was prepping the show Saturday because I was out last week, and said my Ethernet port was acting weird, so I removed it from my system preferences network pane, and I couldn't bring it back. I didn't even have the option to re-add it. I was like, whoa, what's going on? I've never seen this before. So our advice was go ahead and reboot into recovery mode, and see if it's active there. If so, okay, it's a software thing, not a hardware thing, and then just reinstall the OS from there, which he did, and it worked fine. And then, of course, 2 hours later, Apple releases a tech note saying, oops, sorry, we may have accidentally disabled your Ethernet port. And essentially what it's part of is their malware protection. They maintain a list that is updated automatically in the background on your Mac of known bad things. And one of those, there's actually multiple lists that they maintain. And one of them is a list of known bad kernel extensions. And somehow Apple's own Ethernet driver got included on that list late last week.
Whoops.
Yep. So if you happen to get that and did the right things or the wrong things, your Ethernet would, as happened to this listener, kind of start acting flaky. And then if you tried to troubleshoot, it would stop working, or eventually it would just stop working altogether, which is exactly what happened to me this morning when I got to my desk here. And honestly, I don't know. No, I do know that my Ethernet was working on Saturday because I was troubleshooting that listener's problem at this machine. But this morning I got here, my computer was off, which was odd, and I turned it on, and then I was on the network, no problem. But I could not launch apps that were from the Mac App Store, but I was online. And I was getting a message that said, let me find what it said. It said, your device or computer could not be verified. It would ask me to log in to the Mac App Store to authenticate these apps. And then it said, you know, can't be verified. Contact support for assistance. And that headed me down a path to realizing, oh, it's the same Ethernet driver issue. And hey, guess what? I am online. I'm not connected via Ethernet. I'm connected via Wi-Fi, which on this machine is usually off. And I had to go through the same thing. Thankfully, I had read Apple's knowledge base article, and there is a one line: if you can get on a network, i.e. via Wi-Fi, you can run a one line command that will force an update of this list in the background, and then all you need to do is restart, and that kernel extension will be reallowed, and everything just worked. I didn't even have to re-authenticate for my apps. All of it worked. So somehow this Ethernet extension manages both Ethernet and authentication for Apple's Mac App Store authentication. I don't know why that would be related to an Ethernet driver, but it's been that way for years. In fact, I found an article from like 2014 that somebody was having the same problem and they just had to replace their Ethernet driver and it all worked.
That's fascinating.
It is fascinating, but we all often forget that Apple has this thing that I guess we call, I mean, part of it is XProtect, which is like known malware apps and such that Apple won't let be installed on OS X. And then obviously there's this list of kernel extensions, which is similar to that. Maybe they consider it part of it. Maybe it's separate, but OS X does a lot of these things behind the scenes all the time, and Apple keeps it updated all the time, so that you have less of a chance of installing something that you don't want to install. And this is the first time there's ever been a big oopsie with it. So, you know.
Well, and the updates that we get for that list, Apple pushes those out without giving us any alerts or asking us, do you want to do this update?
Right. Yeah, there's no notification that the update is ready, nor is there any notification that the update has happened. It just happens all the time. And I'm still, despite being bit with the same bug twice, as it were, mm-hmm. I'm still okay with it. I think it's a good thing that Apple does this. You know, now that we've seen an oopsie with it, that's actually a good thing, because it will, you know, when we see these kinds of problems in the future, there might be that, hey, try running that update again. Let's see. Or, you know, boot into recovery mode. And that's always a good test. If you're having a weird problem with your Mac that, you know, like this is system related, might be hardware, booting into recovery mode is a great test, because recovery mode is untouched by any third-party apps, and in this case, even untouched by Apple's network updates. So you can boot into that and immediately see, like, you know, if your Wi-Fi is being flaky, boot into recovery mode, connect. If it works there, okay, now you know it's not your Mac, it's, you know, or it's not your Mac's hardware, it's some software or something, and you know where to troubleshoot. So, you know, it's a good, so it's a good thing to remember. And now, you know, now we kind of have this in the public consciousness that, oh yeah, there's these updates that Apple does, and you know what, they can cause problems too. Not that they're a bad thing, but just being aware of it. It's what we do.
Yep. There you go. And for people that had Wi-Fi access and had gotten the I'll call it the bad update for the malware list. In some cases, those people may not have even known that they had a problem, because Apple did push out later on a new update that fixed the problem.
Yeah. So, and yeah, I'm curious when my Mac here would have updated itself. And I obviously didn't want to wait around to find out, but it eventually would have. I haven't looked at the cron jobs, and I will. But my guess is it's looking, you know, once every 24 hours. I think that's what XProtect does, and so it just needed to grab that and then go.
Yeah, but if you're in a situation where for whatever reason it has not updated and your Ethernet port is still down. I'll make sure we have a link in the show notes for our article detailing how you can fix that.
Super simple. It's one terminal command if you have network access. And if you're listening to the show, you probably do.
Probably yeah. Do. And I even put the command into the article, so all you have to do is copy and paste.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the command I used. So
awesome. And you're back up and running.
Yeah. 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 Everything's great. Wi-Fi is off again. It's all good.
Awesome. Awesome. And we are now out of time. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. Brian, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, it's awesome to have both of you guys. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.